Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Our vision is for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we need your prayers because we are in a hostile environment that does not believe what we believe. And we are going to stand firm on the Word of God, and we're going to stand firm for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I would covet your prayers as we seek to do that. I'm here to speak to you about the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your devices, open them up, check me out, verify, get there to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 9, but Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to spend our time together. Have you ever thought about Joshua? Now, sometimes when we think about people in the Bible, we get this idea that they are really up on a pedestal, that they never had any problems, that they never struggled. But when we slow down and we really put ourselves in their position, which is what I want us to do this morning with Joshua, think about Joshua. Who was he? Joshua was Moses' assistant. Joshua was one of the ones that led in the battle, but even when he led in the battle as the general, only when Moses' hands were lifted up were they winning the battle, and when Moses' hands went down, they were losing the battle. And so you remember they propped up Moses' arms so that Joshua and the army could be victorious because God was the one that was actually fighting the battle. Joshua was one of the spies. He went into the land. He saw that there were giants, and they said to them, "We are as grasshoppers." He saw there were fortified cities with thick walls. He saw that it was a land that was plentiful, but it was also a land that it was going to be very hard for them to take. He was one of only two people who came back and said, "With God's help, we can do this." And then all of a sudden, Moses dies. Joshua knew the task at hand. And Moses, my servant, is now dead, and they have mourned Moses. How many of you would like to follow Moses? Don't forget what Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12 says. It says, "There has not arisen a prophet like Moses, none like him for the signs and wonders, for all the mighty power and great deeds." In other words, what the Bible says, God's infallible and errant word says, is Moses was the GOAT. He was the greatest of all time. He was the leader of all leaders. And now Joshua, the assistant, is being told, "You got to be in charge, you got to go, and you got to make this happen." Do you think Joshua was nervous? I think he was downright scared. I think he had some sleepless nights. I think he didn't know what was going to happen. Even when they came up, think about this, the Jordan River. Okay, Joshua, you're going to lead them across, and you're going to take them across the Jordan River. And they come up to the Jordan River, and they camp beside it for 3 days. Before they go across a river that is flooded, it is at its worst possible conditions. They are camping beside it for 3 days. Have you ever camped beside a river that is rushing and you hear the water churning and you hear the falls and you hear all of this taking place? And I'm sure there was somebody who came up to Joshua at that point in time and said, "Joshua, listen, you're new at this. Let me help you out here. This is flood season. This is not the right time to cross the river. The river is outside of its banks." I'm sure there was a father who had a young child that told Joshua, "Listen, I might could get across this river, but I can't get across this river carrying a 2-year-old. There's no way possible." And Joshua tells all the people, he said, "Listen, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you're going to see the Lord do something great." Do you think Joshua slept a wink that night? I don't think he did. I think Joshua was crying out to the Lord saying, "Lord, if you don't show up, I'm done." I think Joshua was wondering what was going to happen, what's going to take place. And one of the reasons I understand this is because of the repetition of what we see in our text. How many of you have ever been to school and the teacher has ever said anything repeatedly? And when the teacher says something for the second or third time, you, if you're smart, if you get good grades, you underline and you star and you highlight because you understand that's important, especially if the teacher says, "You're going to see this again." How many of you have children that you have told to clean their room? And how many of you have to tell them and remind them and remind them and remind them again, you need to clean your room? Have you cleaned your room? You should go clean your room. I haven't seen any trash come down from your room, so I'm pretty sure you haven't cleaned your room. Would you please go clean your room? And we tell them over and over and over, and kids, if they do that, it's a good idea to clean the room, actually to clean the room. But we do this because we understand this is a challenge. This is an issue. And what we see in our text is we're going to see over and over and over again Joshua being told, be strong and courageous. Why would the text tell him to be strong and courageous so many times if it's not the human common temptation for us not to be strong and courageous? So if you're in the room right now and you're sitting here thinking, listen, I'm not the one that is naturally strong and courageous. Welcome to the human race. It's all of us. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. There are always these moments in life that are new to us that cause us to wonder, God, are you there? God, do you know? God, are you in this? And it hits us at odd times sometimes where we're wondering, we're doubtful, we have anxiety, we're afraid we're going to fail, we're uncertain about the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the politics. We don't know what's happening globally. AI is coming on and changing everything in the world. And how is all this going to turn out? And we don't know. But we know the one who does know. Joshua chapter 1. I want to read for you verses 6 through 9. Here's what it says to us. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. You hear the repetition there, right? Be careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And you have good success. Have I not commanded you? You see it? It's here for us too. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Be strong and courageous. And just in case we haven't gotten it with all of the positive commands of what we're to be, here comes the negative command of what we're not to be. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Dear Lord, I pray that through your word you would help show us who you are and that you would help us to realize that because you're with us and because you keep your promises, that we can respond daily with strong and courageous faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here's your main idea this morning. We are to respond to God's promises and to God's presence with strong and courageous faith. Now, I'm not here this morning to tell you to pull up your bootstraps. I'm not here this morning to tell you to man up, to be strong. Let's go work out and get in the gym. I'm here this morning to tell you there are two truths that you have to remind yourself of constantly that then allow us to respond to God with strong and courageous faith. And those two truths are going to be that God will always keep His promises and that God will always be with you. And because God keeps His promises and because God is with us, then we can respond in a strong and courageous faith. So here's your outline. First, we're going to look at the Lord will be with you. We'll see this in verse 5, we'll see it in verse 9, we'll see it elsewhere. Then we're going to look at the fact that the Lord will keep His promises, and then we're going to look at how we respond with strong and courageous faith. So we begin right off the bat with number 1, the Lord will be with you. Look at what it says here in verse 5. In verse 5, it says, no man's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then you drop down to verse 9, the repetition here again. How is it that Joshua is going to be the leader that we read about in the book of Joshua? Well, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, think about it. Did Joshua always listen to this? In my mind, so frequently, I put Moses up on a pedestal, I put David up on a pedestal, I put Joshua up on a pedestal as though they're not real people. But think about the book of Joshua. They cross the Jordan River. We'll come back to that. They go to Jericho. The walls fall down. They go to a city named Ai. When they go to a little city named Ai, where we're not even going to send all the people up, we're just going to send a few of the people up, and they get defeated. What happens to Joshua? You come into the scene, and you see that Joshua there has ripped his clothes. He's put ashes and dust on his head. He has fallen down before the Lord, and he has cried out to the Lord, and he has said things to the Lord that make no sense. Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 and 7 says He tore his clothes, he fell, and he said to God, "Alas, God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To give us into the hands of the Amorites? To destroy us? We would have been better off to dwell beyond the Jordan." Okay, so time out. Because this is where I end up finding myself far too often. Joshua here experiences a setback. He experiences something that's the sin that's in the camp, but he doesn't understand and he doesn't see it all and he doesn't know what's happening. And at this point, he is afraid. And at this point, he is dismayed, even though he's been told not to be. And he falls down before the Lord and he says, "Lord, why did you even let us cross the Jordan? Isn't that just like us? Something happens in life and it causes me to doubt. It causes me to wonder. It causes me to think, God, do you know what's happening? God, what's going to happen in my future? I don't understand. I'm fearful, Lord. If I'm honest with you, I'm anxious in my soul about what's going to happen. Lord, I would have been better off if the Jordan River stopped. The waters stood up miles upriver. They walked across on dry ground. They gathered rocks out of the river and stood them up as a testimony to say to the future generations, God is faithful. You can trust Him." And Joshua, in this moment of, "I don't know what's happening, Lord," says, "We would have been better off to never cross the Jordan." This is us. This is where we are in our daily lives when we doubt a God that we can trust, a God who is sovereign, a God who loves us, a God who knows all, a God who is with us. We jump back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8 says this, "Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous.'" We've heard that before, right? "For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to him." There's the promise. And he swore that he would give it to him. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed." Same message. Because the Lord's going to be with you. And it's in Deuteronomy. And then we look at Deuteronomy 31, 23. Moses has said it. Now the Lord commissions Joshua. "Joshua, come here. What does the Lord say? 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring this people into the land that I swore to give him.'" There's the promise. "I will be with you." There's the presence. And you're sitting here right now, and some of you are even thinking, "That's great. I'm not Moses, and I'm not Joshua." I'm not either. My name is Thomas. I'm the doubter. I don't know why my parents named me Thomas, but it kind of fits if I'm really honest about it. I'm the one that likes to be in control of everything personally, because if I'm not in control, oh, there's anxiety that creeps in, because I want to have backup plans to my backup plans, and we don't always have that luxury. So maybe you're like me, and you're sitting in this room and saying, "It's great for Moses and Joshua. I'm not in the Bible." Well, Matthew 28, 20 says this, "As you're going, make disciples, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." The whole age. He's with us. Now, there's somebody out here sitting here, "Wait a second, that was to the disciples. That wasn't to me." Now, it was to all of us. It is the Great Commission to all of us. And the only way we can do the Great Commission is knowing that the Lord is going to be with us. It's His power, it's not ours. But if that's you and you think, "I'm not in that," how about Hebrews 13:5? Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Listen to what this verse is saying to you this morning. The Lord will be with you. The Lord is with you. We know this because theologically, if we have repented of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But the Spirit now lives in us. So how is it that I can have faith and be strong and courageous? Because I've got the Holy Spirit living within me. Every morning when I get up, no matter how anxious or fearful or I don't know what's happening, Lord, I go back to the truth of the gospel. I don't listen to the lies of the devil. I go back to the truth of the gospel. God, you are with me. And God, you keep your promises. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get up this day and I'm going to respond to your presence and your promises with strong and courageous faith. That's what we do every day. Second point, the Lord will keep his promises. Joshua 1:3 tells us this. It tells us, every place that the sole of your feet will tread, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Okay, let's call a timeout. Put your Bible thinking caps back on. You back all the way up, and you back up, not so far that you fall, but you back up as far as you can get to Abraham. Depending on your timing of everything, you're talking about 600 plus years prior. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the sea, and I'm going to give you this land. Why is the book of Joshua in the Bible? Why does the book of Joshua go through in very minute detail all of the different land, all of the different boundaries given to each of the different tribes? And it spends chapters going through this. And when we do our read through the Bible plan and we read these chapters, we're sitting here saying, I got nothing out of this. I don't even know what this is supposed to be telling me. It reads like a contract of buying a house. And no, it reads like the Apple thing that we have to verify that we've read all 250 pages of, that nobody reads it. You just click the check button because you're ready to check your email and you want it to go away. And it reads like that, right? The reason it's in there is because God made a promise to Abraham and God keeps his promises. That's it. They go to Israel 400 years. Joseph says to them, listen, God's going to come visit you. I'm trusting in his promise. And when he does, you take my bones out of this land. I don't belong in Egypt. You take my bones with you. And I want to say to all of you this morning, no matter what you're facing, there is a God that is coming again, and there is nothing you will face in this life that a resurrection and a new creation won't fix. So you can trust him. You can trust him with your life, with your future, with the problems you can't solve, with all of the issues that this world brings your way. You can trust him. He keeps his promises. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're sitting here thinking, but you don't know how big my problems are. You're right, I don't. And they may be massive. But can I remind you of the problems that Joshua faced? Joshua, the river's flooded. Listen, God said, walk in it. All I know to do is tell them to take the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, and put a foot in the water. And when they put that foot in the water, those waters stood up. And they walked across on dry ground. They get to the other side of that river, and God looks at them and says, are you going to obey me? Are you going to be obedient? You haven't circumcised anybody in centuries. It's time for you to circumcise the people because that's what you're supposed to do. And so let's go across a flooded river. Let the flooded river go back, sit in front of a major fortified city, and incapacitate the entire army. There's only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, and they're old. That's it. Incapacitate the whole army. Yes, sir, Lord, it makes no sense, but we're going to do it. And then you come to the walls of Jericho, so thick that Rahab lived in the walls. They estimate some of these walls were like 15 feet wide. And everybody comes to Joshua, the new leader, following the goat. Hey, Joshua, that river thing worked out pretty good. What's the plan? We're going to blow some horns. Did you see the wall? It's okay, they're going to fall down. With a horn? Did you mean battering ram? Did you mean siege works? No. Walk around, don't say a word. When I say it's time, we blow the horns and we shout, it's going to all work out. Is that a pretty big problem? Is that bigger than whatever you're facing today? And they walk around, and we all know it. We, in fact, sing really bad kids' songs about it. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. You say, God fought the battle. Come on, y'all. But we say Joshua fought the battle. The walls fell down. They went in. They destroyed them. Okay, that's not big enough. My problem's bigger. So they march all night. They come up on an army, and Joshua says to God, listen, God, we need more time. And so Joshua says to God, let the sun stand still. Now, how does that work? He's God. I don't know. The sun stood still. Does that mean the earth came to a screeching halt and everybody jumped forward? Or does it just slow it down a little bit? I don't know. He's God. He created it all. He can control it all. He can stop it all if he wants to stop it all. And then it says that he threw down hailstones. Now, I don't know how this worked either. It doesn't tell us. Was God up there throwing down small hailstones, picking off people? Like, I don't know. Maybe it was a Florida State football game in the swamp. And God had decided that all the Gators were good guys and all of those Seminoles, they've got a problem. And so he just picked them all off one by one. Or maybe they were all sitting on the visitor side and he's got one really big hailstone and said, that's it for y'all. You're done. We don't know. But the Bible tells us that he destroyed more people than they destroyed with the sword, with hailstones coming from heaven. So let me ask you, is your problem that you're facing right now bigger than a flooded river and thick walls and stopping the sun in the sky and throwing down hailstones from heaven? No. And even if it is, this is the God that told Lazarus, come forth. He's got you covered. God is faithful. You can trust him. In what I think is probably some of the keys to the entire book of Joshua. In Joshua 24:45, you get to the end of this book. Joshua's gone through all of this. And in 21:45, he says this, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel have failed. All came to pass. And then you get to Joshua 23:14 and repetition here coming from Joshua. And Joshua says this, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. What does that mean? Joshua is telling them, I'm about to die. So in my mind, this goes back to my grandfather in the hospital. You got it? My grandfather, he was a grandfather, like in the South, and he was country. He was a preacher, but he was a construction foreman before that. And so I'm in the hospital room, and he looks, and he says, come here, boy. I mean, that's affectionate. Like, that's not... And I come over, and I'm listening to Grandpa, and he knows he's about to die, and I know he's about to die. And he says those final words to you. What are your words? It's going to be your key message that you want everybody to remember. This is it. Trust him. He's faithful. You got this. The key words. Here's Joshua's key words. I'm about to go the way of all of the earth, so we should take note of these words. You know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed. Not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised you. All have come to pass. Not one of them has failed. And so again, I want to say to you this morning, because God keeps his promises, and because God is always present, we can trust what his word says. So who do you trust? Do you trust the algorithm? You scroll and it figures out what you stop on, and so it gives you more of it, and it takes you in a cycle, and you spiral all the way down in an echo chamber of your own fears and anxiety. Do you trust what the media says? Do you trust fake news? Do you trust videos? What do you trust these days? Who do you trust these days? I want to tell you, you can trust God's word. You can trust him. And here are just a few of the good promises he's made to us. And I'm here to tell you, he'll keep them. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nobody loves me. Oh, yes, they do. God loves you enough, he sent his son to die on a cross for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect in this life. But what it means is I'm not living for this life. I'm living for the next. Amen. I am just a pilgrim passing through this earth. My home is in heaven with Jesus. God will never leave you or forsake you. You are not alone. Hebrews 13:5. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Oh, you don't know my hurt and the pain I live with. I don't, but God does. And Psalm 34:18 tells me that He's near to the brokenhearted. God will supply all of our needs. It's according to His riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. God provides rest for the weary, Matthew 11:28 and 29. Oh, and see this. God will forgive those who repent, 1 John 1:9. But you don't know what I've done. Listen, friend, don't think so much of your sin that you think too little of God's grace. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Your sin is not greater than His grace. His grace covers all of our sins. And if you want to be a strong and courageous faith person, you have to be a person that trusts in God and believes in Him so that He does live within you. You have to be redeemed, a child of the King. And once you are, these promises go to you. But it all begins with repenting and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God provides eternal life for those who believe, John 3:16. Oh, we can claim those promises. As tough as it may be in this life, whatever you may be facing, the anxiety, the fears, the uncertainty, God's got it. He's going to make all things new. He's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to take care of it all. God has got it. So then how do we respond? It's simple. With strong and courageous faith. Now, you remember I told you about Joshua messing up, right? Lord, it'd have been better off if we didn't even cross the Jordan. What does God say to Joshua there? Because He tells him something. He tells it to him twice. It's repetition again. God looks at Joshua. God says to Joshua in our text in chapter 7, He says, get up. And then He tells him, you got sin in the camp. And then He says to him again later, He says, get up. So here's what I want to say to you. You blow it one day, and you don't have strong and courageous faith. What do you do the next day? You get up. Listen, when we go charge the mountain, when we are going on a mountain climbing trip and we slip and fall and catch ourselves, we don't roll all the way back down to the bottom of the mountain. We catch ourselves from that one step and we get up. And then we keep marching forward. So you messed up today. Get up. Strong and courageous faith tomorrow. You mess up tomorrow. Get up. Strong and courageous faith the next day. It is a long, slow journey in the same direction pursuing the Savior. His promises and His presence. We know it. We trust it. We believe it. So we keep getting up. We lock arms together and we keep pursuing the Savior. So what if Joshua on the side of the river had decided, it's too tough. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to camp here because I can't be certain that the waters are going to stop or the walls are going to fall. Is that where you are? Are you afraid to take the next step because you're just uncertain? Are you afraid to share the gospel with that neighbor or that friend at work? Because what are they going to think about me? And they're going to think I'm weird. Listen, you're sitting here on a Sunday morning. You are weird. Get over it and go share Jesus. I can't take that step to go on that mission trip. I can't take that next step that God's calling me to do because I don't know how it's going to end. I'm with you. I want backup plans to my backup plans. And I can tell you right now, next Thursday, a week from this Thursday, I'm taking a terrifying step that I don't know how it's going to end. It probably has a 90% chance of failure. And I'm going anyway. So you can pray. Because if the Lord allows it, Cedarville's going to have a Clearwater campus in the next 10 years. And we're going to be in Florida too. I can't control it. It makes no sense. Let me tell you a story. Oh, let me give you application before I tell you a story. And then I'll quit. All right. Application. How do you wake up every morning and respond with strong and courageous faith? Here's the nuts and bolts. It's in our text. First of all, daily time in the Word. It says to meditate, which means mutter. It's in your mouth. Meditate on the Word day and night. So at Cedarville, I have this thing I do with the students called No Bible, No Breakfast. You wake up in the morning and you don't get in the Word, you don't eat breakfast. You wake up in the morning and your stomach tells you, I'm hungry. I'm telling you, your soul needs the Word more than your stomach needs food, especially in America, right? Can I get an amen there? Like, right? All right. So, no Bible, no breakfast. But really the text is, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. It's day and night. Listen, if you're not reading the Bible, if you don't have a plan, if you're not in the Word, no wonder you're anxious. Get in the Word. This is the basic steps of life. On your Apple Watch, you have those three rings at the bottom. Getting in the Word is the stand gold. Only in America do we congratulate ourselves for standing up once every hour. Stand up. Woo, good job. Woo, thank you. Yeah, I stood up. Get in the Word. I'm a Christian. I don't read my Bible. There's your problem. Get in the Word. All right, then detailed obedience. That's harder. Be careful to obey all that's in it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Dependence on God. Can't do it by yourself. Recognize that you depend on the Lord. You depend on the Spirit. If you do those things, you will start seeing a strong and courageous faith developing. You're in the Word. You're seeking to obey. You're depending on God's power, not your own. That step, those stumblings are going to come fewer and fewer times. And you're going to look back one day and you're going to say, wow, look how far we've come. All right. So we lived in Fort Worth, Texas at Southwestern Seminary and this place called in the north. Now, you remember, I'm from South Carolina, right? This place called and they wanted to interview me for a presidency there. And so I'm in Chicago. I'm in a hotel room. I like to have backup plans to my backup plans. And I'm in that hotel room wrestling with God. And I'm asking God, God, if I'm going to go forward with this, I need a verse. Now, God does not have to respond to my prayer or give me a verse, first of all. We can't demand anything from God. But I'm in this hotel room, and we've already sought the Lord. We've had a peace from the Spirit. We've sought godly counsel. We've done everything you're supposed to do, but I didn't have a verse. And so knowing and doing the will of God, I would like a verse. So I'm in that room wrestling with the Lord. Lord, I need a verse. And while I'm wrestling with the Lord about needing a verse, I do my quiet time. I got nothing out of my quiet time, my Bible reading that morning. Have you ever been there? Your mind's so distracted, you read it, and you get done reading it, and you're like, I don't even know what I just read. And you read it again, and it's, you're just not there. So I did that super spiritual thing. I hope y'all have done this before, too. It's where you take the Bible, and you do this, and then you point, and it says, like, a dog returns to his vomit. You go, nope, that's not it. Okay, let's go to somewhere else. Y'all have done that, too, right? I'm not the only one. So I'm sitting there doing that. And as I'm doing that, all of a sudden, genuinely wrestling with the Lord, my phone vibrates. And I flip it over. And it says, Joshua 1, 8 and 9. My wife had sent me a text message at that moment when I had been wrestling with the Lord. So I asked her later, why then? Why at this moment? She said, well, I was going to send it the night before, but I knew you'd go to bed early, so I was up with the kids. We were doing the homeschool, doing quiet time. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, send it. I hit send, and here it shows up. Now, listen, I am not here this morning to promise you God will send you a text message with a Bible verse if you ask Him for that. But I'm here to tell you there's a God who hears our prayers. There is a God who is always with us, and there is a God who keeps His promises. Now, fast forward, I go to Cedarville, and there's a guy named David Jeremiah. You ever heard of him? He's going to be speaking at the inauguration. He calls me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I turn my phone over and it says David Jeremiah, I start to freak out a little bit. So my immediate thought in my mind is, don't say anything stupid. So I answer the phone, yes, sir. I don't think you typically are supposed to answer a phone call, yes, sir. But that's not the worst thing I could have said, right? So he says, what do you want me to speak on? And I said, listen, just talk about the gospel. Don't talk about me. I'm going to live and die and everybody forget I ever existed. It's fine. Cedarville's just a place. It's going to cease to exist one day. Just talk about the gospel. That's what lasts. And he said, I think I may need to change my message then. And I'm really sitting here thinking, you're David Jeremiah. You're preaching whatever you want to preach on. And he said, I was going to talk about Joshua 1, 8, and 9. So I told him the story. And that's what he spoke on. And so I'm here to tell you today as somebody who is prone to want to be in control, but isn't. As somebody who is prone to have fears and doubts and anxieties. There's a God who's with you. And there's a God who keeps every one of his promises. So, dear brother or sister in Christ, all we do is get up every morning strong and courageous faith. And when we blow it, what do?
Get up.
Get up. And the next day, we step forward with strong and courageous faith. All for his glory and for our great joy. Oh God, would you help us to realize this message? Would you help us to live it out? Would you help us, Lord, to realize that you are with us and that you are a good God and that you do keep your promises? Lord, would you help us in those moments of anxiety, doubts, distrust, to replace the lies of this world, the lies of the devil, with the truth of Scripture? And Lord, would you help us in our weakness, in our frailty, to wake up every moment, every morning, and to seek to pursue you with a strong and courageous faith. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.